Okay, there we go. Oof.
Okay.
Man, you know, every week the devil is trying to fight, but he won't win. All right.
I'm standing for a minute there. Whoa.
I'm like, every week there's always something. Okay, so anyway, and there's two elections happening in the city of Muskegon. Okay. In District Ward 2 and Ward 4. Okay. We're going to introduce the first person, which is running against incumbent in Ward 4. Her name is Katrina Cochin. Put your hands together for Katrina. How you doing?
Hey! Hi, Greg. Hi, Melvin. Thank you guys so much for having me today. I'm so excited to be here.
Good. Listen. All right. So, Katrina, tell people a little bit about yourself.
So, I am a Muskegon resident. I've been here for 7 years now. I live in Glenside with my adorable 2.5-year-old daughter. I'm a single mom, and I grew up hearing my dad tell me about how he grew up here in Muskegon and the parks and recs opportunities that were available, from baseball to basketball to sledding and hockey and hot cocoa to dances in the ovals. And all of that sounded amazing. And I was so excited to bring my daughter up in that environment. And I got here to Muskegon, and I've always seen the beauty of Muskegon when we come to visit, but I never got to see the parks and rec portion in action. And I was like, man, this is still the same equipment from when I was a kid. Well, where are those recreation opportunities? Mm-hmm. And they're missing. And so that kind of fired me up a little bit to run. But my background is in a little bit of everything. I've worked in the nonprofit sector, helping the disadvantaged get to non-emergency Medicaid appointments throughout the state of Michigan and Ohio. And I've been a firefighter, a wildland firefighter.
Hey, sister, brother firefighters, hey.
Hey! So I've done a lot of different things. I've milked cows, I've picked blueberries. I know what it is to pull up your bootstraps and try to make it work to get food on your table. So I'm really trying to help my community, and I think that I have the energy and the drive and the passion. And part of the reason why I had to work all those jobs is because I've got 2 degrees. I've got a degree in environmental science and a degree in biology. And so those degrees, I think, would help me be a good advocate for our environment, because we've got some amazing natural resources here in the state of Muskegon. Mm-hmm. And I think that we only got them once, right? We got to make sure that we're using our development properly and being strategic about it. And so I want to make sure that we have that voice for the voiceless on the commission.
Pastor Burns.
So tell us, what was the thing for you that made you decide to get into the race?
A lot of different things. Growing up, my dad was always really political. He was really involved in the community here in Muskegon. And I got to see some of that. And I was like, okay, all right. But I never had the courage to do it myself. I didn't think that I had it within me to do it myself. And then I got a broken swing down at our park, at McGrath Park. And I was like, hey, let's fix that. And we asked our current ward commissioner Teresa to do something about it, and she kind of gave us the runaround, and then we offered to pay for it, and we kind of got the runaround. And so we're going on almost year 2 now. It's still not fixed. After I started running in the race, about 2 months later, she showed up to our board meeting and said that the swing is on back order now.
Okay.
So that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I want to make sure that our parks and rec are funded. I want to get our kids off of the streets and active and things to do. I want to get the adults in our community engaged, because I feel like we've lost that sense of community, right? Like the pandemic kind of squashed that a lot. But before that, we were really struggling. You know, I feel like people didn't really know their neighbors like they used to back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring that sense of community back, where we're getting out. We know our neighbors. We're willing to, you know, go help them when they have surgery, and, you know, go clean up the river and go, you know, snow blow the neighbor's driveway because they've got something going on. Like, I want to bring that back to the city. as well as government transparency. Because I feel like there's some things that happen in our government that happen, and then we find out about it afterwards. And I would like to be a little bit more proactive with communicating with the citizens beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns?
Yeah. Well, tell us, what is your, have you had interaction with the city administration, and what is your impression of them as you prepare to run for this race?
I have. I've interacted with the mayor. I've interacted with the current incumbent. I've interacted with other people while knocking on doors. I find out who work for the city. And so I've interacted with quite a few of them. I think that we all have a lot of great people that are working for the city to help make the city better. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would like to be one of those voices too.
Okay, Katrina, what do you say to the people that say, you know, that's nice and dandy, but there's budgets and all kinds of stuff, and that's pie in the sky thinking?
I think that's valid, right? Like, but I think that we also need somebody to push for those things, because we can get wrapped up in the humdrum day-to-day of everything and not think about the things that we need to do. Mm-hmm. I think that there's ways that we can utilize grants as well as getting friends of the city of Muskegon Parks mm-hmm. in place. We're the only major city in the area that doesn't have that. And all the other people I've talked to who run the parks departments for those other major cities, they have them, and they make massive amounts of money because they do fundraising and bring it into the parks. And we should be doing that.
I could say one person that if it wasn't for those parks, it would have been days that I didn't get a meal or coaching or a lot of things that I think it's a big thing that we have to have. And I think it's a big thing to neglect. And I think it's a shame that when I pass by those parks that they're idled or nothing is happening, old equipment or no equipment at all. And I think something needs to happen. So you're right on the money on that.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more.
That's Burns.
So Katrina, as you've started the campaign, knocking on doors, talking to people, what are some of the things that are you hearing from people as you tell them about your reasons and your desire to run for city commission?
A lot of the issues that I'm hearing from the residents as I'm knocking on doors would be about the housing situation.
Yep.
That's a big one that I've been hearing about, and I don't think I could agree with them more. We have a housing emergency here in the city, and we need to work on fixing that, because rent shouldn't be, you know, $1,500 a month for a two-bedroom. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Nobody can afford that.
Right. You talked about environmental. I see so many homes that are being built, but a lot of them are being built around the lake, and eliminating a lot of the public access to the lake. Your impression?
I couldn't agree with you more. We really need to work on our public accessibility and maintaining that, because that's one of the gems we have here in Muskegon, is we have this beautiful lake that's meant for the residents to enjoy. It's not meant for private citizens coming up maybe once, two, three times, you know, a year to enjoy, because those houses are extremely expensive. Most you and me can't afford those houses.
Right.
And so we need to make sure that we're building affordable housing and we keep our access to our lake. We need to keep that access, especially when it's already public. We shouldn't be selling that off.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Okay. Have you any thoughts about what we might do with that? Again, the housing is one of the big things in a lot of communities. Have any thoughts about what kind of solutions might be out there?
That is a really good question. I know that I've talked to quite a few people, and I know that the mayor has got something in the works with far as like a committee to try to figure out that issue. It's a big, complicated issue, right? And it's just as big as the gun issue. It's very complicated, and I don't think that there's any one answer, but I think reducing the cost of the housing is step number one. Step number two is we need to make sure that it stays that way. And I think that we need to make sure that we're not pricing ourselves out, right? If we make Muskegon strictly a tourist town, mm-hmm. it is going to be completely dead in the winter, and people are going to be struggling more than they already are.
Katrina, what would you think about this? I've seen buildings that were used at one point, but they're empty now, that could be used for single people instead of being blight and empty.
I think it's brilliant, honestly. The Walker, the Shaw Walker plant. If I had the money, I would have purchased it myself to make it into housing, because I think it's perfect place for housing. We have opportunities with all of these buildings to make them into housing. And I think we're starting to do that, but I think we need to make sure that we're keeping some of that for our residents and affordable for our residents.
What do you say to the people now? And this is a big question. You talked about it a little bit, but Muskegon is that hidden gem, and everybody else from Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio around us know about this gem, and they're coming in here in droves, and if there's not their first home, it's their second home. But how do you keep that Muskegon hometown flavor?
I think that's a good question. I think that's being true and authentic to yourself, right? I think it kind of ties back into what I was talking about before, by making sure that we keep housing affordable, because as long as we can keep housing affordable and keep our residents here, I think that'll help us. Yeah, and then we can blend, you know. I think that that's kind of going to be key, because no matter what, people are going to want to come to Muskegon, and they're going to want to visit, and they're going to want to stay. And I don't think that we should necessarily keep them out, because I don't think that that would be right, because we've got a lot to offer here. And some of those people could have, you know, fantastic opportunities for us in business that they could bring here too.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
I always ask people this when they start campaigning for the first time. So far, what has surprised you the most about being out there running this campaign?
You broke up. Can you say that one more time?
I said, what aspect of campaigning has surprised you the most?
The cost.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
When I got into this, I had looked at the previous candidates, you know, information, and I was like, oh, I could do that. I've got that in my savings. And then I started talking to people, and I was like, oh, you want that for how much for a sign? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Those little signs, the little wires, the little pieces of wood, they add up, don't they?
They do.
And the billboards and the radio ads and all that kind of stuff. It adds up.
It does, which is why I'm so appreciative of you guys having me on today. It helps me get my message out without having to pay for that.
Now, you have extensive stuff. You have a lot to say. I know it's early, but talk about some of your important things other than the park and how people can find out more about Katrina.
Okay. So I'll start out by letting you know where you can find out more. So I've got a website. It's katrinaforcommissioner.com. And you can go to my Facebook, which is Katrina for Commissioner. Pretty simple to find. I've got all of my information, my issues on there, as well as pictures and some of the things that I've been up to throughout the campaign trail. But other things that you know, our big concerns of mine are, you know, safety in the community. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to continue to work on that. You know, there's been a lot of really awful shootings lately, and I think that we need to work on our gun violence issue that we've got going on. My ex took my girl down to the beach yesterday and stopped in the parking lot, and some people got in a fight in front of his truck. Yeah. I've had my car broken into a couple times. So we've had some issues that I think we got to address here in the city. And I think that getting folks active and engaged in their community will help. And I think that also by making things more affordable, it'll cause people who are doing this because they have to, because they don't have much of a choice beyond, you know, getting out and trying to get what they can. I think that'll help reduce that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just mentioned the issue of the beach. Some people say that the beach should be free for all to use. Some people say that somebody has to pay for the maintenance. What is your views on that?
Those are tough, because I've got mixed feelings, right? I understand the budget. I understand that without the money coming in from the parking meters, we wouldn't have the money to help fund the parks. At the same time, I feel like those parking meters being placed everywhere have forced our low-income residents out of the access to the beach. We don't have a good way to get to the beach if you can't drive. And it's not really very fair to have to pay, you know, if you're outside of the city. I know that the city is working on that, and they did a much better job this year. So kudos, city. Mm-hmm. They've offered some reduced rates for non-city residents, and I do appreciate that. I think that I would have liked to have seen some areas where there were still, we still kept some free parking. Cruise Park, one of them, because Cruise Park, it's in shambles. We shouldn't be charging people to park at Cruise Park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of Cruise Park, there's a nature element that I want to talk to you, because you are in my ward. So, we have so many deer down here. I mean, my backyard looks like Deer Park used to look like. Okay, but there's something that has to be done about this issue, and it can't be that we're just building and saying they got to find another place to go.
Right.
What do you think?
I think that issue should be handled by the DNR. I think that what we've done is we've developed, right? We've developed to help enhance the community, to build housing, which is important. But it's forcing the wildlife out. And a lot of people are having issues because the wildlife are in their yards. Well, the wildlife was here first. So we need to find that balance, right? And I think that making sure that we maintain habitats for them, like that new Dune Harbor Park, there in Norton Shores, that is a fantastic habitat for them. And I think we need to make sure that continues to stay untouched for the deer. And I think that working with the DNR, we can help lower the population and try to keep it in control so that we can maintain it.
Okay. That's burnt.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Gray. I walk in your area, and I noticed this past year, I've seen a lot of deer during my walks, and they kind of sneak up on you when you're walking.
They do.
And very friendly. Deer around here wear DWE or Deer With Attitude shirts on. Okay. All right. So Katrina, the environmental thing impresses me. The park thing really impresses me. Getting our kids impresses me. Some other things. You have an open... You can speak about
it. Good. All right. Okay, I'll go. So I talked about government transparency. One of the things that kind of got me involved with that was I felt like there's a lot of things happening with development within the city that the citizens weren't engaged with. They didn't really fully know what was going on, or they weren't informed until after it was already voted on, or in some cases the night before. The one that really got me fired up was back at, I think, in 2020. Don't quote me on the date, but I think it was in 2020 when... we had a 33-page memo go out the night before the meeting, and it was buried in the back of the memo in very vague language that they were going to give a tax abatement, a very hefty tax abatement, to an animal testing facility, Northern Biomedical Research, mm-hmm. To move to the city of Muskegon. And the vote was the next day. The citizens did not have time to say, you know, yay, nay, we're okay with this. That's kind of a controversial topic, and I think that they kind of knew that. And so I would like to make sure that I'm getting my constituents involved, going, hey, all right, this is what I'm seeing on the agenda. I want you guys to tell me what your thoughts are, because I want to be the voice of the people, the whole city, not just, you know, specific parts of it.
Back in the years like that you were talking about, it was a lot of that stuff that was given to the commission last second when people had no chance to act, reducing firefighters, reducing pay, all kinds of things. And I think that transparency, and the mayor ran on transparency, and I gotta commend you on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think he's doing a better job. I think he's trying to do it, but I wanna make sure that we keep on that track.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Burns.
Katrina, tell us, you talked about, you touched on your background as a firefighter. I was kind of interested to come back and ask you about that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Well, we were different kind of firefighters, I'm almost positive.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So in college, I was a wildland firefighter. So I was up there in Wisconsin going to college at a small school, environmental-based school on Lake Superior. And they offered this opportunity to become a wildland firefighter. And I've always been the one to stick out. I was the only girl in the metal shop for 2 years. I was the only girl in wood shop for 2 years. So that fit right in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. So I strapped on my boots, so to speak, and we handled a couple of brush fires. It was a good time. It was exciting and fun. We didn't have any tragedies, so I can't, have any PTSD or anything from that. But I definitely respect all firefighters. The firefighting work that men and women in the city of Muskegon and across the country do is critical. And we need to make sure that their department stays funded.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns again.
I reeled up a little sound issue. Katrina, anything else? We play your fastballs here. What else does the people need to know about you? As they look at candidates coming up this fall, what does people need to know about you and the kind of commissioners you're going to be sitting there?
I think the thing that you need to know about me, Melvin, is that I'm down to earth. I'm real easy to talk to. I'm real easy to listen. I'm not going to be judging you. I want to hear what you have to say. So don't be afraid to talk to me. Don't be afraid to come up to me. Go, hey, I've got this issue. I've done all kinds of things. Like yesterday, I was knocking on doors. This woman gets kicked out of her car and she goes up to this porch and I'm like, okay. And then we start walking to go knock on the next door and she just starts bawling. And so I was like, all right, this is what we're going to do now. So I walk over, I talk to her. She's a young woman who might be pregnant. Her boyfriend just kicked her out. She needs help. She needs somebody to help her. And she just wanted to talk. And I took it upon myself to go, you know what? No, you got to get up to Montague to get back to your house because you've got an appointment to make with your caseworker. I'm going to drive you. We're going to drop everything we're doing. We're going to drive you up to Montague and take you home. So what I told my daughter that day was, in life, you get chances all throughout the day, mm-hmm. every day, to do the right thing, mm-hmm. the wrong thing, or nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's
always
good.
Pick the right thing.
Question coming your way, Burns.
Question from Benita Threggio. She says, what are your views on public schools versus schools of choice in terms of accessibility for all? And, okay, she says, what are your views on public schools versus schools of choice in terms of accessibility, as well as tax-based contribution for the city?
Thank you for showing that so I could see that. I appreciate it. Okay. So my feelings on our public schools, as a person who's gone to public schools in several different states, I've never gone to a private school besides when I went to college in Wisconsin because they gave me one heck of a scholarship. But I feel like our public schools need strong educators, they need good funding, and we shouldn't be pulling our kids out of the public schools and putting them into charter schools. And the charter schools should not be taking our public schools' money.
Wow. Okay, it's 227. Give us those phone numbers. Give us all that information where people can get in touch with you.
All right. So, again, my name's Katrina Cochin, K-A-T-R-I-N-A. K-O-C-H-I-N, and you can find my website at katrinaforcommissioner.com. My Facebook is Katrina for Commissioner, and my phone number is area code 616-589-5847. We have a barbecue coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a really great time. We've got a bounce house. We got bubbles. We've got water toys. We're going to have the grill going. It's going to be fantastic. That's going to be at my house at 2533 Cumberland. Everybody is welcome. So you guys are welcome to come out. Bring your family. It'll be very fun.
I think you forgot to mention bring your checkbook.
Oh, yes. Checks are greatly appreciated. Yeah. I'm not good at asking for money still. I'm working on that.
Yeah. Hey, we've been in this for a long time, so we'll help you out.
Bring your
damn checkbook. Okay.
Oh, one last thing. I decided last night that if we do make over $1,000 in donations at the event, I'm going to donate 10% of the proceeds to Pound Buddies.
Nice. Nice.
The last one I did, I donated to the homeless. So I'm going to donate to Pound Buddies this time.
That's excellent. Listen, you've been listening to Katrina Cochin. She's running in Ward 4. That's mine. And good luck and take care and God bless.
Thank you. Good luck. God bless you guys. Have a good day.
Benita says awesome.
Thanks.
Take care.
You too.
All right, that was Katrina. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to do a commercial break, and we're going to get in the second candidate who's running in Ward 2. Actually, she's a friend of mine. I've known her for a long time. But we're going to get to Jeanette Burt Moore, and we'll do that after our commercial break. You're listening and watching Torn in Two with Gregory T. Roberts and Pastor Mervyn Burns, your show. The news, information, and more. We'll see you in a second.
The second annual I Am Her Feminine Hygiene Drive, supporting young ladies from Ghana, Africa, in need of everyday essentials and feminine hygiene products, was a great success. Thanks to the generosity of our community and organizations like Period.org, Muskegon Heights Public School Academy, Camphidic Cosmetics, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Inc., and everyone who made a contribution, hundreds of young ladies and village members received essential items. The community made a lasting impact with more than 10,000 sanitation items donated. If you would like to help, donations can be made year-round by dropping off items in the donation shed at the Mays and Wright Media Center, located at 1877 Peck Street, or making a contribution to paypal.me/1037thebeat. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Thank you for supporting I Am Her Foundation.
I think it's important. Welcome back to Torn in Two. You're down at the bottom of our 2:31. It is 7:23. Interesting interview with our first candidate. Now we have to go to Ward 2 and put your hands together for Jeanette Burt Moore.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Jeanette, you are no stranger to politics, and I just want to thank you for getting back into politics.
Well, thank you. It's a challenge, I tell you. It's more of a challenge now than it has ever been. So,
well, Benita wanted to, she's giving you hand claps of praise.
Well, thank you, Benita. I appreciate you.
All right. So what we try to do is, like I say on the show, we try to ask everybody the same questions. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been here in Muskegon all my life. I went to Muskegon Public Schools downtown. I'm married, been married for 30 years, have 3 grown sons, 6 grandchildren, 4 granddaughters, and 2 grandsons.
Wow.
And I'm a bus driver.
Wow. Where do you find time to run for office?
I'm telling you, it's really been hectic lately because we got so many things going on with the family. Husband has to have surgery. All this stuff is coming up that I've never had before. So it's like, you know what? I know I'm doing the right thing. Because you know what they say, when you're doing the right thing, the devil try to throw everything at you. So.
Yeah, tell me about it. Okay. So what made you get in the race?
Well, I appreciate Willie. Let me say that first of all. Willie is a good friend of mine also. But it's some things I want to try that's a little bit different. I want to try to bridge that gap between our community and make it a more even level feel. You know, try to, like, we can go out and we find different people that develop homes and develop houses. I want to develop some jobs and, you know, make everybody feel like they belong, because we all belong. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no place that we should not feel like we don't belong.
Mm-hmm. Going to Houston, Texas, Michael Anthony Smith, what part of the city is the second ward?
Jackson Hill, Angel School, and some of McLaughlin, and I do believe Nelson.
Yeah, my old stomping grounds.
Yes.
Pastor Burns.
So, Jeanette, so here's the big question. You ran for, didn't win. Why would you want to get back out of here and go?
Well, it was a close race, by the way.
It was so close. It was so close. The first time I ran, I hate to say this, but it was to make the person that I'm running against do their job. That's what I wanted. I wanted that person to stick up more for us because we have people that need things communicated to them. If we understood more of what was going on, then we could probably develop more and be a part of the developments that's going on. So I need somebody that if I ask them a question, I want the answer and I want them to stick up for us and I want them to try something new, not just go with the flow.
So you said one of your biggest thing is creating jobs. What are the issues that you see that Muskegon are facing?
Well, I see it's an educational level. You know, everyone has talents in different levels. You can be very highly intelligent when it comes to computers, or you might be really good with your hands. If we have jobs that are paying real good, and in every level, instead of just trying to track the higher education, then I think that we'll have a better playing field so that we can fight against the gentrification and different houses that's being built and people can try to keep the homes that they're in or buy homes. But if you don't have that, if you take away all that, but you know, when we lose a job, we don't replace a job. We maybe try to build up a new housing or a new club or something like that instead of trying to bring in factories such as, you know, maybe those chip factories where we don't have a lot of chips or medication, you know, different little things like that that can bring in, maybe not downtown on the waterfront like they used to be, but there's still places here where we can build and make a level field, give our young people something to do, you know, to look forward to.
Now, speaking of young people, now, our first person that we interviewed talked about the parks. In the area that you represent, the parks are dismal. What are your thoughts about that? The parks are terrible in the area that you would represent. Your thoughts?
Well, we've been working on that because I am a vice president of the Jackson Hill Neighborhood Association. Just got to be that a couple of months ago. And one of the things we've been doing, we've been going to Amott Park, planting flowers, representing each holiday that comes up. We're fighting to get a bathroom there. We're trying to get more activities going on because even at Smith Ryerson, we have a computer lab, but none of our children are able to be a part of it. And one of the things they say is they don't have anyone that can be overseer of it. So we're trying to change a lot of things. McCray Park, that I love, you know, I see they do have a working bathroom. They did put the basketball hoops up, but we want to bring back the baseball fields and stuff like we used to have there. So yeah, it's a work in process, but calling and finding out about our new park manager that we have, trying to get in touch with him and working with our new city manager is some of the things we got to do. We got to step up and we got to get everybody, you know, in the community involved.
That's Burns.
So Jeanette, as you campaign, as you talk to people, as you listen to them on the bus, what are the concerns you hear people have that make you want to be in the race?
A lot of people that I deal with on the bus, they don't have homes. Mm-hmm. They're having a hard time finding a place to stay. They're looking for good paying jobs so they can take care of their children. And there's a lot of things that, you know, they see downtown is developing, but they don't feel like they're a part of it. So that's one of my biggest concerns.
Do you feel like that gives you a perspective that maybe some of the people don't have, that you kind of see people, you know, at the base level, you know?
Yes, because I get conversations that I don't even ask for, you know? And this was way before I ran or anything. And it's like, I got to listen because that's a part of me, you know, and I care about people. So when I hear something, I try to figure out what we can do, you know, how we can make it better. Because I've been in a lot of their situations. You know, I'm not going to say that I was raised real poor or anything, but I had two loving parents that worked every day to make sure that we had what we needed. And they told us if we wanted anything in life, we had to work hard for it. Well, there was places to work, even though a lot of times we had to drive to Grand Haven. You know, we didn't have anything really local that paid good here, but the jobs that we did have here, it benefited. You know, it benefited us and able to get a home. I was part of that infield program that got our house built, and that helped us. And I don't see too many programs like that anymore.
I want to talk. Go ahead, Burns.
You know, we all see a tremendous development down on the waterfront downtown and the activity. Do you feel like the people in your ward are somewhat disappointed connected from some of those events taking place?
I do. I do. I feel that way because, you know, when you see the prices of those homes and you look at your income that you have, you know that that's out of your league. But if you had a job that was paying good, you could say, you know what, there's a possibility that I can be a part of that development. And when you don't have that, then that's a big disconnect. You know, it's, especially when you're young, I'm happy in my home. You know, I don't see me going anywhere except maybe to a lower level without a basement or upstairs. But as a young mother and wanting to be a homeowner, you know, when I look at stuff like that and I think, huh, if I don't have the means to get that, then yeah, I feel like you're building for someone else and not me.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring you out to the lakefront. The parking situation, the paying for the parking. The budget say, people have said that they need that money. Somebody's got to pay to keep the parks clean. Other people said that you are taking the disenfranchised and not getting a chance to get to the beach. Your feelings?
Well, my feelings on that is if you are taking the money and you're putting back into the beach and you're putting it back into our community, it's different. But I'm seeing playgrounds being took away from a certain park that I can't think of the name of the park that's in Pierre Marquette Beach, and it's not being put back. I feel like that should be put back. If you're taking the money and you're developing it and you're making it better for everyone, then it's different. And everyone that lives in Muskegon County, I feel, needs to get the free parking pass, whether you own a home or you're renting. You know, because everywhere else I go, people pay to get into parks. Mm-hmm. They do. They pay to get into beaches. I found that out, unfortunately, when I went to Indiana. It used to be a free beach, and I was like, what's going on? Why you got to pay? That's before we started. But a lot of people are doing that. I'm not sure if they're putting back into their parks, keeping it clean, but I believe that we should keep it clean. Not only keep it clean, but keep it where it's developed and make it more suitable for everyone.
Now, the current city administration, do you feel that they have been clear and transparent?
No, I don't. I think they're trying, but I think it's our job to make sure that our ward is being spoken for and understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. I can imagine it's going to be hard to do that, but when I have people knock at my door when I'm not even a commissioner and they say, what's going on, and I can go out and find out and communicate it back, that's what we need to do. And even if it means, you know, I have to do this at a full-time capacity, then that's what I have to do, because I know when I ask for questions and I don't get them answered, it's frustrating. And I want to put this in here. Everybody tax dollar means something. I was told one time that our taxes that we pay on our property wouldn't mean as much as new developers, because their tax dollars would be more than ours. And I don't feel that that's right, because, you know, our parents lived here and then we own our home and we're paying our taxes. Our taxes mean just as much as someone who have millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't for our taxes that held it down this long, then those developers probably wouldn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm. That's Burns.
Do you have any concerns in any other areas, like public safety, with the city of Muskegon that you would be concerned about?
I can't hardly hear you on that one.
I apologize. Let me see if I can do it. I said, do you have any other areas of service that you're concerned about, public safety or any areas?
Yes, I had. I have concerns about our police officers and our fire department. I want them to be fully funded, and I would like for our police officers to get to know their community more. You know, back when we were going to school, we had an officer in our school that we got to know, and we got to know our neighborhood officers. So if anything happened, we could go to our police officer, even if it was in confidence, if we had a concern, and tell them. The way things are now, people are, they don't know how to go to anybody or tell them anything. They're afraid. But mm-hmm. if you build up a relationship and get to know people, then that goes both ways. The police officer isn't afraid and too quick to try to shoot. And the community can get a situation solved before it gets to that, you know, to that point.
I will say this about the current public service safety administrator. We got it going.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We got a good one, and he's trying to correct a lot of ills that happened before he got in service. So you will have somebody that you'll be able to work with.
Oh, my. Our community officer, Dan Dennis, is great. I'm going to put that out there. He will come to our rescue. He comes to our meeting, our community meetings, and he is an officer that I really like because he'll stop by and speak to you, how you doing. You know, he's a good guy. So far, I haven't heard anything bad going on, but this was one of the problems from the past. And, you know, I think we're working on it. I do.
We talked earlier about housing. What is your feeling about housing? And I'm going to bring a new question to you. I work with a lot of people that just get out of prison and stuff like that, that need homes and can't get them or can't find places to stay and end up in trouble. How do you feel and what do we should do about the housing problem?
Well, we have a lot of empty school buildings around here.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And we have things that we could build and we can make places and put in programs to help people. Because I feel like once you done went to prison, you did your time. Now it's time to rehabilitate you and get you back out there, which brings you back to the jobs. Mm-hmm. If you can get a job and you don't have your past hanging on you, then you maybe can go forward and, you know, make a good future for yourself and for your family or whatever your situation may be. But if you don't have that in place, then you're going to keep on getting the same people doing the same thing over and over again because they don't know no better.
Mm-hmm. Jeanette, I'm going to ask you this question because Pastor Burns and I are on the political team for WVAS 103.7 debate in M106. We talk over and over and over about trying to get people to come out to vote. Now, you are in a ward that does not come out and vote like the West Side.
And
the West Side gets just about everything, but where you at, they don't get a lot of stuff. How do you fix that problem?
By getting the community more involved, by letting people know, by getting them saying, let them know that their voice is important. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I've been doing. Like I went through a couple of years ago, like I said, I was not planning on running again. I felt like I could do more being just a regular citizen than I can be, you know, a commissioner. So I went out and I tried to get the beautification program and I got a chance to walk around and meet everyone. I was only allowed $200, but we were so thankful for that from the city. I'm serious because I wanted more to help people. But that way I could tell people what we could do to help try to make our community better. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of people said, well, I don't know. I don't know nothing about my neighborhood association. I don't know this and I don't know that. But they were so thankful for the little bit that they were getting to help. Same situation with the boxing down at the Smith Ryerson. They had a situation where they're about to close up and I went to get my mom's car fixed and the guy there said, hey, you're a city commissioner person. I said, no. I said, I ran for city commissioner. I didn't win. He said, well, is there any way you can help my friend down at the Smith Ryerson boxing? They need money to help them stay open. So I gave him my information. He gave me a call and I talked to the guy. I can't think of his name that's running it, but he told me that it helps keep the young men out of trouble to teach them how to box. So I made a phone call to Peter Willis and I said, is there any way we can help and, you know, give money to help the boxing club stay open? And he said, I don't know. Let me pass it on to the commissioners. And the next thing I know, I get a phone call saying, yeah, they're going to give them $10,000 for new equipment, new uniforms. And I just started crying along with him. And he says, I'm a Marine, and I don't cry, but you're making me cry. I'm like, I'm so happy that this is happening. So, it's certain things that you can do as a regular citizen to help, you know. Mm-hmm. But I figure if I'm in this position, maybe I can talk to the other commissioners and we can become a dream team, you know, like Michael Jordan did. I know y'all might not like Michael Jordan, but you can make a dream team out of nothing. You know, if you all communicate, you know, you just need somebody that will encourage the rest. Let's do this. Let's get on board together. Let's not fight.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
As you mentioned that, so sometimes there's concern when there's somebody who's not on the commission coming new. What can the other commissioners expect from you as you sit there and serve alongside them?
Well, they can expect solutions versus just problems. I want us to have solutions, and I want us to realize that we work for the citizens, that is our job. Mm-hmm. And it can be tough sometimes, and we're never going to please everyone. Mm-hmm. And I found that out, even, you know, driving the buses or even working in retail, working in manufacturing, you're never going to please anyone, no matter how hard you try. Mm-hmm. But if you give that best you can, and if you acknowledge people, even if things don't go their way, I think it'll turn out a lot better, and then we can start bridging ourselves together.
Now, one issue that doesn't necessarily affect you, but it does, it affects us out here, is what do you think should happen to the deer?
To the deer?
Yeah, because we got so many deer out here, it's crazy.
There's a lot of homeless people that's hungry. I'm joking.
Hey. I ain't mad at you. I'm not.
Personally, I don't eat deer, okay? But I have ate it because at my manufacturing job, I said I would never eat deer. And a guy made some stew and said, "How did that taste?" I said, "Good." He said, "You just ate deer." I'm like, "Wow, really?" So I'm never going to say what I'm never going to do, but that there is a situation where, you know, we need food. We can process it. And I'm sorry, it probably sounds cruel to people that love deers. I like Bambi because my dad pulled a gun on me. Seriously, I went hunting with him when I was little, and he was going to teach me how, you know, to hunt. And we was being real quiet in this apple orchard, and I saw the deer, and I was like, "Oh, it's a girl." I'm like, "Run, run!" And he turned that gun. I'm like, "Dad, what are you doing?" He's like, "Go back, go back. You're done. You're not." I said, "You can't kill Bambi. You can't do that." And that's a true story, you know. And he's like, it's just, it was food to him, but to me, I'm like, she's so cute. You
know? Pastor Burns.
Yeah. Jeanette, you campaigned before. What are some of the things that have surprised you as you get out and knock on doors and talk to people? What are some things people say that kind of surprised you?
All their concerns, all the things that they want done. I hear everyone, every one of them. And even when I'm not campaigning, when I was giving the certificates, I got a mouthful. I got people saying that they want to know who owns the property next to them. How can they buy that property? What's going on in their neighborhood? You know, developments. A lot of people don't want what happened in Nelson School, even though, you know, they don't want that to happen. They don't want to know and be a part of what's going on. So it don't be a surprise. Like you wake up one day, woo, where did that come from? They want their voices heard. And they want to be a part of it. So it's so many questions. You know, people want to know if they can have chickens in their yard or, you know, but, I mean, seriously, they do.
Everything,
you know, so they want to know why, you know, if they have an extra car in their yard and they can't get it fixed, why is it being towed away? There's all kind of real, real serious concerns that it may not concern me, but it concerns them, which concerns me. Mm-hmm. You know, because you never know when that problem may get on your doorstep.
Jeanette, Deck, you said you've been here just about forever, and you've been in the same area just about forever. And you've seen the decline of that, but you're doing something. I like the idea that you said you want to bring solutions instead of problems to the commission.
Yes, that's what I want to do. I want our young people to dream and have to want a home and to want to live here. I hear my son saying my youngest son wants to move to a different state. I don't want to hear that. When I was young, I wanted to stay here and I wanted to build my family here because Greg, you know, when we grew up, we didn't know no color. We was all a community. We was all together. Every mix and pot you can think of. I didn't know what nothing. I looked at roots. That's about as far as the prejudice with me. Is seeing it on TV or hearing it in school. But in our Angel School community, we were all good friends and best friends and still are to this day. So, you know, I want to kind of bring that back. I don't want it to even be Hikes and Muskegon. I want us to be all together. Mm-hmm. You know, no Norton Shores. You can't run from the problem. You can fix up and make it beautiful all around this lakeshore. But if you don't take care of the heart, you know what happens.
Right. I want to talk to you a little bit about what we talked about in the first segment. Is that we got all this housing development around the lake, but we're losing public access for just, you know, if you want to take your son or daughter to go fishing. Your thoughts?
Okay, from what I'm understanding, because I sit on the DDA and the Brownfield, from what I'm understanding, they're supposed to keep so much access for us, and they're supposed to only sell a certain amount to the the developers. We're supposed to have access to the lake. You know, it probably won't be like we used to have. But then I think about all the factories that sit there and we couldn't get no access at all. You know, like Lakey Foundry, Continental Motors, West Michigan Steel, we couldn't get back there at all. You know, but now they say that we can use, you know, that we'll have access to it and that we won't be charged. Now the home developments that's out by the lakeshore, I'm not too sure about all that because that belonged to the sand mines or something like that.
Property. I'll talk to you about it later when I can keep my mouth clean.
Okay. I mean, I'm not too happy about that because when we were kids, we were told we couldn't even walk on that. Now they're building homes, so I'm going to keep that alone too because I'm probably on the same page with you.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, I was shocked.
Yeah, me too. Pastor Burns.
Yeah. Jeanette, I don't know you've been a community, but how can folks get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you?
I have a Facebook page, Elect Jeanette Burt Moore for commissioner, and also I have a telephone number, 231-720-9979. My home is at 403 Erickson Street, right on corner of Marquette and Erickson, and my door is always open. Someone's always knocking on it, so you feel free if you want to do donations. I accept that. I saw that the last time. See, I'm not good at asking for money either. I've always done everything on my own. That's why this election is a little bit different because there's people that's coming and trying to help me. So I'm used to, you know, like the Charlie Brown thing, make my own little posters and walk around and hand it to people. So this is different. Probably why I lost last time.
Let me ask you a question because a lot of people are going to say this. Like you said, your friends with Willie German. I know Willie German. Pastor Burns know Willie German. You're friends with him. How can you hit the commission day one, active and ready to go, as he will have to depart?
Well, I will have to learn, and I'm going to be stepping in some big footsteps, you know, and I'm not new. I don't know anything when I get in there. I'm going to have to learn some things. I just got to bring my common sense. But this is to me for Willie. I think he can go and be bigger. And I think, you know, let the woman get in here and try a little something different. See how it works. But he has a great mind. He has a positive attitude. And I know a lot of people don't say that about the person they're running against. But I just feel like, you know, it's time to let someone else try something a little bit different and see if we can bridge a gap together.
That's perfect.
Okay. Well, I think that's commendable that you're running on your own and supposed to try to tear somebody else down, which we certainly get enough of in our community.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. I know what it feels part of our campaigning that you probably like the least.
Okay, I got to hear you again, sweetheart.
Just part of campaigning that you like.
That I don't like?
Yes.
Talking in front of people. No, I'm joking. No. That, you know, like, asking questions. I'm not big on talking. I'm more a doer, if that makes sense. I can't talk those big professional words like everyone else do, but I can get out there and I can do.
Okay.
So if that makes any sense, that's the one thing, talking in front of people, might get my tongue's all tied up, you know, if I'm not prepared. But yeah, that's the one thing. I don't want to come off the wrong way. I kind of want people to understand that I'm for them, not for myself. This has nothing to do with just being a commissioner. It's just, I want to try to get in a place where I can help people.
Jeanette Burt Moore, give us that information one more time.
Okay, I am at Dr. Facebook. I'm at electjeanettebertmoore.com, not .com, but Facebook. And then I'm 231-720-9979. And I live at 403 Erickson Street in Muskegon, right on Jackson Hill. If you want to talk to me, ask me questions, I'm always available. Even if I'm at work, I'll take a minute over and hope my boss don't see this, but I'll answer your questions.
Do you have any fundraisers coming?
I am working on my fundraiser. It will be all posted on my Facebook page. Like I said, I'm a little, I never asked for money before. I've never done that before. I've always just got out and did my own thing. So
I get used to it. All right. Jeanette Burmore, thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck, Jeanette.
Thank you.
All right. That was Jeanette Burt Moore. All right. Hey, man, we're off to this political game and running. Your thoughts?
Man, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how many years we've been doing this, but it's exciting to see new people getting involved.
Yeah.
You know, and we are something. We don't have preferences. It's exciting to see somebody who ran and lost before is going to do it again because people want me to get out there. That's. I hope people have choices. I don't like to see racist words. People are contested. Give people choices. I like the fact Candace are getting out talking to folks and hearing their opinions. So a lot of people are down on campaigning. As opposed to national, local, you can meet these folks. You can sit in their home. They'll come and see you. Find out what they're about and what their concerns are. And you can tell them your concerns. So it's an exciting time. Hope folks take advantage of it.
Well, I will say that there is one ward that there is nobody running. There's nobody running. And so that race will be taken care of by write-in in November. Commissioner Hood has left.
Right.
And so people get involved. You can serve. Don't let this happen. Somebody should be running for these seats, okay? We shouldn't have to deal with this. With that said, it's Friday. It's 3 o'clock. My brother, I know you got to run. Listen, thank you, Muskegon. We're back in political season, and we're going to be talking to a lot of campaign candidates. Go do something. Go sow a seed in somebody's life. Take care, and God bless.